Hey, this is Thomas Q. Jones, former UVA All-American running back, and you're listening to The Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Wahoo wah.
Welcome to another edition of The Jerry Ratcliffe Podcast Show, along with my co-host, Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. Thank you so much for listening in today. We have a special guest, somebody I've known and respected for as far back as I can remember in the business. He's an amazing person, actually. I mean, he's like a walking encyclopedia of Clemson athletics and pretty much college football in general, I think. But let's welcome in Tim Beray. He's the color analyst for the Clemson Radio Network. We'll be down in Orlando for this afternoon's Cheez-It Bowl against Iowa State. And Tim is also a he helps out Clemson's athletic department. He was full-time SID for I don't know how many years, far, way, way long time, and assistant before then with another man I respected so well, Bob Bradley, that we all in the ACC belovingly called Mr. B. And Tim also works with the NBC Golf, NBC Network in golf. And so what a well-rounded individual. Hey, Tim, how are you, man?
Doing great, Jerry. Glad to be with you. And that level of respect is mutual. Enjoyed working with you for many years.
Thank you so much. I wish you'd ship some of that weather from Orlando up here to Virginia. It's a little frosty this morning up here.
It's going to be 82 and sunny this afternoon. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. May dip into the mid-70s, low 70s by the time the game ends, but we'll persevere.
Yeah, you're killing me. Good golf weather for sure.
Yes. Oh, it's killing me. We're staying at a resort with a golf course right out my window. But I don't have time to play.
Isn't that the worst? That's the most torturous thing for a golfer. You're on business and you look out your hotel or window and there's a beautiful golf course lying out in front of you. We're talking to Tim today for a multitude of reasons, but mostly about Virginia's new football coach, Tony Elliott, who Tim has known since Tony came to Clemson as a walk-on wide receiver. And it goes back to the Tommy Bowden days and then later Dabo. I know when you were up here for the basketball game a little over a week ago, I guess, Tim, you mentioned to me that you you remember Tony as the walk-on. And, you know, a lot of times even an SID might overlook the walk-ons a little bit, but he wasn't your ordinary walk-on, was he?
No, he wasn't. You know, he came as a walk-on, but, boy, he was pretty athletic, and so he stood out on the field also. I guess maybe we could call him the Hunter Renfro of the previous century when he started in 1999. But, you know, he just continued to work hard, and Dabo was his position coach his senior year in 2003. Actually, the first year he played in the game was 2001. I think he got one catch that year. He actually played the position coach when he came was Rick Stockstill, who's now the head coach for many years at Middle Tennessee State. And we hear a lot about how Dabo loved Tony, but Rick Stockstill did too. Then his second year, he got a little bit more involved. He caught a touchdown pass against Georgia Tech, a game in which he had 85 yards receiving. And then Rick left and Dabo got hired, and they forged a great relationship. Obviously, they kind of had a little bit of similar paths in that Tony had a tough upbringing and Dabo had a challenging upbringing. They were both walk-ons. And so then prior to his senior year, I always remember this, John Solomon of the Anderson Independent approached me about doing interviews with various players that asked them, you know, different questions and one of the kind of like a survey. And one of the questions he asked the players, who's the most respected player on the team? And the answer by far was a wide receiver, originally walk-on. He was on scholarship by then, who only had like 10 catches the year before. And that was Tony Elliott. So I mean, I knew he was a respected guy in the team, but I said, wow, for the players to themselves to do that in a vote, that kind of told you all you needed to know about Tony Elliott when he first came to Clemson.
Yeah, wow, that's incredible. Respect from your teammates for a guy who, like you said, walked on and ended up earning a starting job, I guess. But that's you're right, it speaks volumes. I've only met him the one time, and that was briefly at the introduction here a couple of weeks ago. It seems like a month ago already, but seemed like a very genuine, caring, devoted guy who does everything the right way. And that's it's a lot to be said for in these days and times of college athletics, for sure. How well did you get to know him over the years, Tim?
Well, pretty well. Obviously, an SID gets pretty close with the coordinators, but I've always gotten especially close to the guys who come back as assistant coach who were players. And obviously, Tony fit that bill. When he graduated, he went to work for Michelin. He was out of football for a while. Then he went to South Carolina State and then Furman as assistant coach. And, we kind of kept up. He'd come back to campus. And I talked to him about how things were going. And then when he came back to Clemson as a full-time coach, we got to know each other pretty well. Obviously, in the professional level, setting up all his interviews. And then, of course, when he became a coordinator, he was certainly at the forefront of that. And he was an SID's dream. I called my good buddy Jim Daves. He's going to love Tony. He's the most reliable guy ever. There was not one time when I set up, we have those coordinator calls with the TV crews before television games. I mean, I never had to chase him down. He was always right in his office exactly when he said he was going to be. And he took the media seriously, something you guys are probably going to enjoy working with him. He sees the value in the media. Whenever I did interviews, I set him up for his weekly interview as a coordinator. He always wanted to talk about, well, what are they going to ask me? Let's talk about what they're going to ask me. In post game settings, he was always one who said, well, let's talk to Dabo and see, so we're on the same page and everything as far as what we saw in the game. So as they say in my world, he gets it when it comes to the media, and he was great to work with.
Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The barn has been family-owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's big-time steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630.
That's really good news for all the media up here, for sure. This guy was an integral part of Clemson's success, I guess, over the past 10 years or so. Today's game that you guys are playing in the bowl game, it's the first time in since 2014 that you haven't played in the playoffs, right?
That's right. Yeah, the 2014 season, you could say it's ironic, or you can say it makes sense that the last year that Tony wasn't calling the plays was the last year that we didn't get to the playoff before this year. Chad Morris was the offensive coordinator in 2014. Then he left to become the head coach at SMU. And Tony and Jeff Scott took over as co-coordinators for the bowl game that we're in. It was a Champ Sports Bowl, I guess, then in 2014 against Oklahoma. Deshaun Watson had torn his ACL and was out. And so everybody was kind of had a defeatist attitude, to be honest with you, about us going into that game. The first play of the game, the first play call Tony had for Clemson went for 65 yards and a touchdown and a pass to Artavis Scott. So he got off to quite a good start. And 7 years ago in this very bowl game. But then he and Jeff Scott were a terrific combination as co-coordinators. You know, they devised the game plan together, but Tony was calling the plays on game day. And, you know, in Tony's time at Clemson, we were 89-10 with him calling the plays. 6 ACC championships, 6 trips to the playoffs, 6 top 4 finishes. So, think about that now. That's 6 Final Fours for all you ACC basketball fans out there. So, yeah, you can tell that is quite an accomplishment. Just the offensive numbers were great in those 89 and those 99 games. We averaged 38 points and 483 yards per game.
Wow, that's amazing numbers, I'll tell you. Certainly he's called a lot of big time plays in crucial situations. Not only in regular season, but like you said, in the playoffs, that's says a lot about his capabilities. Have you ever heard him talk much about just his philosophy on play calling or offense and just what maybe sets him apart from some of the other guys in those positions?
Well, the first word that comes to me is balance. Having a good running game and a good passing game, one will open up the other. In those 99 games, we averaged 201 yards a game rushing and 283 yards a game passing to reach the 484. So, but that said, he will also play to what his strengths are, you know, in a particular, you know, season. Obviously in 2019 and 20, when we had Trevor Lawrence, we were going to throw the ball more than we did. Obviously he had some pretty good quarterbacks to work with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. But for those who say, well, you had great quarterbacks, you know, 2017, let's take a look at that 2017 season. Kelly Bryant was our starting quarterback, a very good player. That 2017 season, Clemson won 6 games over top 25 teams. That's the most top 25 teams in a season that Clemson has defeated. And people forget we were actually the number one seed going into the playoffs that year. We averaged 33 points a game and 429 yards a game. Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest, Kelly Bryant's not in the NFL. He's not playing any professional football yet. Under Tony Elliott's guidance, he took us to those accomplishments in 2017.
I told everyone out there that you knew everything about Clemson football, and you're continue to prove it. Chris?
I think this year's team, I mean, the slow start, obviously, but as the calendar rolled on from October to November, the offense really started hitting its stride with all the issues, all the injuries that Clemson had. The offense this year was really hitting its stride in November this year.
Yeah, fact to back that up, we actually averaged – we went 4-0 in November. We averaged 38 points a game, which was 19th best in the country, and over 400 yards per game, over 200 passing and 200 – rushing. So we finally got to that balance that Tony strived for. It was actually pretty amazing in that, we did that with all the injuries that we did have. We had most of the year, we had 7 scholarship receivers out. We talk about walk-ons that Tony was a walk-on, Dabo was a walk-on. Well, the last 2 games, we started walk-on Will Sweeney at wide receiver. That's, Will is a very hardworking player, but if the scholarship guys were healthy, he would not have been starting. But we really did have to work on the ground game quite a bit this year because of the injuries we had to the offensive line. We finally got some cohesiveness in our offensive line the second half of the season. And that was a big reason we finished with a 5-game winning streak and had the offensive numbers that we had.
Yeah, being the SID and even in the program before that, Tim, how rare is it for a walk-on to end up starting in a program like Clemson? I'm just off the top of my head. At Virginia, I can there's probably more, but I can only think of one, and that was and I can't remember his name.
Patrick Jeffers?
Well, yeah, was Jeffers a
walk-on? He was originally a walk-on.
Yeah, okay. And I was thinking of a fullback back in 1984. He was a walk-on and ended up starting and won the West Virginia game, really. But and then was undrafted and ended up playing and starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a few years. Thinking it's maybe Henderson or something like that. But anyway, how rare is that in your time at Clemson to see somebody accomplish what Tony did?
Yeah, it is pretty rare. Although wide receiver is a position that we've seen it happen. I guess it depends on what your definition of a walk-on is. I look at a walk-on as somebody who came to the school without a scholarship. And then if they earned a scholarship after that, that's fine. Obviously, the most famous example of Clemson right now is Hunter Renfrow, who caught the winning touchdown pass in the 2016 season national championship game and has gone on to just have a terrific career. Over the weekend, he went over the 90 mark in receptions for the Las Vegas Raiders, and he joined Tim Brown and Jerry Rice as the only Oakland receivers in history to have at least 90 catches in a season. So that's been a pretty remarkable story. But we've had some. I remember we've had two walk-ons who went on to become All ACC, one and all American. Steve Ryan was a two-time first-team All-ACC defensive back in 1977 and 1978. And then we've had a couple of other defensive linemen who have gone on to have, terrific careers at Clemson. So, and we had a fellow named Price was a walk-on offensive lineman. He's the only offensive lineman I can remember in recent years that went on to start at a tackle position, which is probably even more rare in the offensive line to have a starter there.
UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boast one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game.
Tell us a little bit about Tony. I guess off the field, just what kind of guy is that you've gotten to know over the years?
Cerebral. I kind of chuckled when when he went up to Virginia and then came back and hadn't accepted the job, and everybody's like, "Oh my goodness, what's happened?" Well, that's Tony. When Tony's going to make a big family decision like this, he's not going to do it on the snap of his fingers. He's going to evaluate everything at all different aspects of it. And so that did not surprise me at all. That is his approach to everything he does in his life. But he's a real family man. Good example of that. And it also shows you the way Coach Sweeney is. The day before we started practice this year in August, Tony was not on campus. He was, I think, in Tennessee, seeing his young son playing a national Little League tournament. And I got a kick out of it. You could actually go online and there was a feed of it. And he was sitting right behind home plate. You could see him in the background of the camera, living and dying on every pitch of that game. But he's a regular guy. He's a smart guy, believe he had a 3.6 GPA in engineering when he was at Clemson. He was an academic. He wasn't an academic All-American. He was academic All-District, but obviously All-Academic ACC. But he's, you know, he looks you in the eye when you talk to him, and he's just a sharp guy.
Chris?
How do you see him growing into this role now? From being a play caller, we know that he can make decisions on a fly, calling a touchdown pass with 1 second to go to win a national championship is indicative of that. But how do you see him growing now from play caller to the head guy?
Right. Now, that'll be an interesting aspect to see in that he will, you know, have to be the chairman of the board, so to speak. And that's something that you have to adapt to. But you know, he's seen that close hand from with Dabo. He and Dabo are very close. If I just tell you a quick story about his hiring at Clemson, you know, all Virginia fans should really Google Tony Elliott, ESPN story, 2015. Mark Schlabaugh did a terrific story on Tony and the difficulties that he had with his family. His mother was killed in an automobile accident right in front of him when he was 9 years old. In Anaheim, California, in a street that was Sycamore Avenue. And later on, there was a coaches convention in California, and Tony took Dabo to the house where he lived in and actually took him to the site of that car accident. And so Dabo remembered that. And so then when he was going to bring him back, he had Tony come over to Dabo's house to accept the job in person. But there was a method to his madness, because just an incredible coincidence, Dabo's street in Clemson was Sycamore Avenue, the same street name. So just, you know, that type of bond that you see between those two. I know that Tony has taken note on a lot of the things that Dabo has done in creating a culture. And I know Tony has the same values. And I might add, values I think that are really in line with the University of Virginia. I think he's going to be a terrific fit in every aspect of being a Virginia football coach.
Tim, what do you think it was about this job, the Virginia job? Tony's name had popped up the last couple of years with some really high profile jobs. What was it, do you think, about Virginia that made him say, this is the place where I need to be?
Yeah, Tennessee. You know, in particular, within the last couple of years, I know there was a significant involvement. I mean, you know, he obviously knows what Virginia's all about, having been in the ACC. He's known people who have coached there. You know, the coaching fraternity is very close. So I just think that he kind of knows what Virginia is all about, their approach in recruiting, their approach to the relationship between athletics and the university. And I think it just, you know, fits with him. He's going to put a high priority on academics. He knows that the type of player that they want to, you know, to bring in, you know, to the program that's going to represent the school. So I just think he thought that the University of Virginia is a great alignment with what Tony Elliott, you know, is about.
Blue Ridge Bank is the proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show and JerryRatcliffe.com. Founded in 1893, Blue Ridge Bank has more than a century of customer-based service, but is forward-thinking and features digital banking free and available 24/7. CEO Brian Plum and his team are strong supporters of UVA Athletics. And check this out. Blue Ridge Bank is home of the $100,000 jackpot drawing to one lucky customer every year. How can you beat that? Banking smarter, simplified. Blue Ridge Bank's mission is strong customer service. Make Blue Ridge Bank your bank today. Visit mybrb.com for more information.
I can imagine him as an engineer with that background. One of my college roommates is an engineer. Those kind of people, the training they get, they're so organized. Do you think that this is something? I mean, he had to have been looking towards this day that he would be a head coach of a major program. did he already have a blueprint in place for what he wanted to do, do you think? I mean, was he thinking that far out?
You know, it's interesting. One of the items in Mark Schlabaugh's story when he interviewed Tony Ford was always having a plan, something that he learned when he was a kid. You know, he lost his mother and his father was in jail, so he was kind of on his own. He was with relatives, but he was separated from his sister. And so, you know, at a very young age, he had to get organized and have a plan. And so, you know, I think he's had a plan for this moment for many years. And along the same lines, I think it's something he learned from Dabo. You know, when Dabo was an assistant coach, had not been a coordinator, then he was made the interim coach. You know, I got really close with Dabo during that time and still today. And Dabo had put together this big, thick binder of all aspects of a program that he presented to Terry Don Phillips when he did his formal interview for the job. And that degree of organization really impressed Terry Don, I know. And so I got to believe, I haven't talked to him directly, I got to believe, though, that Tony has had set that to same type of thing and same type of approach and preparation for this. So I think he's been prepared for this moment for many years.
Yeah, you're right about the Schlabaugh story. I read that, and that, what a great piece that was. Tells you everything you want to know about Tony Elliott, really. Just an amazing guy. But, you know, you were talking about him being so deliberate. I'm sure that's one of the things going on now with him filling out his coaching staff. Some of it's probably probably more going on behind the scenes than we realize, because probably some of those guys are still experiencing seasons in college or pro football. And so, that's no surprise. A lot of people are saying, well, when's he going to name a coordinator? When's he going to? I'm sure that he's taking his time and researching this pretty thoroughly.
Yeah, I would certainly say that is the case. And I mean, let's be honest, we're past the early signing period. It's not like there's a potential recruits out there making decisions, you know, tomorrow, and even guys in the transfer portal. I think that's going to be a while. So, and of course, you know, he might have some guys that are locked down. You're right, who are working on bowl games this week. I know Tony would be very sensitive to that. You might have noticed in his press conference, I believe he said, had Clemson been in the playoff, you know, he would not have taken this job. He would not have done that to Clemson and left, which also tells you a lot about Tony Elliott.
Right, absolutely. Because you don't see a lot of that at the current moment in college football, with coaches jumping all over the place, for sure. It was killing me. I couldn't remember that walk-on's name at Virginia. It was Steve Morse. I'm sure you don't remember him, but he was a heck of a fullback, though. But it was driving me crazy. I had to look that up. I guess a little bit about today. Clemson's a slight favorite over Iowa State. I think Clemson's going to run away with it myself. But give us an update on the Tigers heading into the game today.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. The attitude of the team is great. You might have noticed that there were no players opted out, which to me tells you all you need to know about Dabo's culture and the fact that here's a program that's used to go into the playoffs six straight years, and that, you know, we're not in the playoff. Yet for this bowl game today, nobody's opted out. I mean, even Booth, the defensive back, who everybody said is going to be a first-round draft pick, he's been out there going at it in practice. Xavier Thomas is the same way. So certainly feel good about that. Looks like we're going to get Joseph Ngata back, so we'll get one of the receivers back to play today, which I think will be important. And, you know, the offensive line should be in good shape also. So I think we just have one player who's out due to COVID, AJ Williams, one of the receivers. Iowa State, You know, a little bit better than their record indicated. They're 7-5, and I think 4 of their losses have been by a touchdown or less. They did hand Oklahoma State their only regular season loss. Now, they don't have Hall, Breece Hall, their outstanding running back, who was a first-team All-American running back, but their quarterback, Purdy, is very efficient, 73% completion percentage this year, veteran quarterback. Got some good receivers, and they still have some very good defensive players. You know, we got a lot of attention for our defense this year. Ninth in the country in total defense, giving up 309 yards a game. Well, Iowa State's right behind us at number 10, giving up 310 yards a game. So a lot of people think it could be a low-scoring game. That might be the case. But certainly looking forward to a real competitive, good football game today.
Absolutely. We'll be tuning in. Chris, you got anything else?
No, it's a long day for you, Tim. We were talking about that before we hit record. You guys have a full 3 hour plus pregame. You got the game. So it's going to be a good day for you. You have to rest the voice up the next few hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clemson football on the Clemson Network. It's an all day affair when the Tigers are playing, but it's a lot of fun. I've done football now. This is my third year since I retired as SID. I've done basketball since 1979. I've done over 1,000 basketball games. Thought I was going to have to miss Coach K's last game at Little John Coliseum, which was also scheduled to be today, but that's postponed or canceled. I'm not sure which for due to COVID and the Duke program. But it looks like we're going to play Virginia consecutive games, which I bet has never happened that I can think of in the regular season. We've ended regular seasons playing one team and then turn around and play them again in the ACC tournament. But, yeah, this is going to be very odd when it looks like Virginia is our next scheduled game on January 4th at Clemson.
That really is odd. I don't think that's ever happened before. That's wild. I didn't even think about that until you mentioned it, but that's bizarre. Virginia's got a very difficult three-game road trip starting Saturday night at Syracuse and you guys in Carolina. So that's we're going to see what these guys are made out of real quick.
Yeah, know what you mean. Yeah, there's a few teams that have three-game. Of course, with COVID changes, it's you can have strange scheduling situations.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for taking part of your day to talk to us and giving us some great insight on Tony Elliott. I'm sure Virginia fans will eagerly tune in and learn more about their new head coach. And we appreciate you, brother.
Glad to be with you. You guys are going to love Tony.
Okay. Have a great day, brother.
You too. Take care.
Okay. Thank you for listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at jerryratcliffe.com or at AugustaFreePress.com.